Hello there, paperweight people. We have a great show for you today, but first I get to take a moment and tell you about Bebop's. Brittany's Brick Oven Pizza is a mom-and-pop pizza shop located at 2034 Lanier Drive in Madison, Indiana, and they happen to be the sponsor of this episode. Stop by today to enjoy a delicious pizza featuring handmade dough and sauces, fresh toppings, all cooked to perfection in a brick oven. Also, try one of Susan's homemade desserts and treat yourself to a local wine or beer. On a personal note, Bebop's is my family's favorite pizza place. I'm partial to the Chicken Bacon Ranch, while my wife can't get enough of the Boss Hog Barbecue. Call 812-274-3337 or stop by Bebop's today and tell them that Paperweight sent you. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the Paperweight Entertainment Podcast, your home for all things Marvel, DC, Star Wars, and so much more. Join Derek and Ian as they tell tales to astonish along this journey into mystery. Grab some snacks and settle in because Paperweight Entertainment starts now. Hey, everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Paperweight Entertainment Podcast. I am your co-host, Derek Hoskins, and I'm excited because we're talking about Star Wars again tonight, but I'm not talking about it alone. I have with me my good friend and yours, the one, the only, the lovable, huggable, the absolutely beautifully shorn face of Ian Torrance. Not shorn, that makes it seem like you got all your hair cut off. You didn't, though. You do look svelte with your new haircut. Ian, how are you doing?
I wish I could match that energy, Derek. I'm very sleepy right now. I don't know why.
I'm exhausted too. This is just me coping. I'm so tired.
Wish that screen would stop shaking like a
it is. It's jiggling around. So how are you doing?
I mean, it's other jiggling. Than tired. not horrible. Had a chicken and broccoli. I had a chicken stir fry.
Earlier. I'm not big on stir fry, but you are a really good cook, so I'll give it a shot.
I've been doing low calories, low carbs here lately, so
yeah,
it wasn't anything too extravagant.
Yeah, I didn't even think to ask you. Like, you told me you were making dinner before we got on here, and I'm a bad friend. I didn't even ask what you had. So
no, I apologize. It's funny because I said something about like going and making dinner or something. And I think it was my barber actually was like, because I've known him for years. And he was like, apparently I need to get you to start bringing me some leftovers because you look like you cut some good stuff. And I was like, thank you.
Thanks.
Oh, you're talking about my Facebook post. Okay, gotcha.
I was going to say, that sounded like, wow, yeah, fatty.
And it smells good, too. How did you know how good it smells if I've never made it for you? I'm outside of your window, Ian.
Don't worry about it. Yeah, I got home today, and Allie had made corned beef hash. And I don't know if you've ever had corned beef hash. I
remember the last time. It's a specialty of my father's.
It's good. I like corned beef hash. I got home and they were playing outside. Like all the kids were outside. Allie was out there. And so she also had like some fried eggs. And so there was a fried egg left there. And so I ate a fried egg and I grabbed a fork and excitedly went and dipped into the pan of corned beef hash. And as soon as I went to put it to my lips, she opened the door, jumped because she didn't know I was home because I hadn't said hi yet. And she just goes, it didn't turn out very good. And I took a bite of it and I went, nope, it certainly did not. And so I opened the freezer and saw a bag of pizza rolls. And so that's what I had for dinner. So I wish that I would have gotten to try your stir fry. But I had gross Great Value brand pizza rolls instead, which are not good, by the way. I wouldn't recommend.
Which ones did you have? Did you have just the pepperoni or the pepperoni and sausage?
Just the pepperoni pizza rolls.
Yeah, they're very dry.
They're very flaky. Yeah. Like I cooked them in the oven.
Not in a good way either.
Yeah, I cooked them in the oven thinking they'll be a little bit better. You know, sometimes they get kind of gross in the microwave, but no, they were just like rock hard and nasty.
Yeah, so I usually do mine in the air fryer. Spend the extra money, get the Totino's.
Well, we don't normally get pizza rolls. Like, my kids don't even like them.
No, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to our audience.
Yeah, get the Totino's.
Spend the extra money.
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't buy the Great Value. Normally, I'd say just as good, sometimes better.
For this a lot of things, great value is good. Yeah.
Not one of those occasions at
all. Yeah, I agree. It was not good. So I'm looking forward to, I don't know, tomorrow. We have no food in our house. We haven't been to the store in a while. That's why it was corned beef hash, because we had like canned corned beef already, which what a weird thing to have in a pantry. Either way, we're not... Go ahead. Let's finish the statement, and then we're going to
We're going to what?
Pivot.
So when you say that you had... Oh, never mind. You just had canned corned beef.
Yes.
I thought you had the canned corned beef hash. You know, they sell it, the pre-made in the can.
Yeah. I can't imagine that's great.
I don't hate it.
Really?
But I grew up on corned beef hash. It was a specialty my dad, especially my dad's.
That's special.
My dad used to make it all the time when I was just a boy. So my dad used to make it all the time when I was growing up and my teenage years. So when Wells came to live with us, he had it for the first time. Never had it before, right?
Right.
Sorry, my fantasy alerts are going off. He made it for us one night. Wells, it was the first time he'd ever had it. And he loved it. And then after that, like, he made that shit all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, I never had that growing up.
Made some corned beef hash today. I'm like, you're too proud of that.
Yeah, like, so corned beef hash is not a culinary delicacy. Like, it's usually something, hey, we don't have anything else. So corned beef hash it is. We got potatoes and we got corned beef and we got an egg, because a lot of times you serve it with eggs. Hash.
I didn't eat it with eggs.
You did not eat it with eggs?
No, we never ate it with eggs growing up.
It makes it better. Eat it with the eggs. Oh, not that it's bad normally, but it was.
Do you scramble your egg when you make it? Or
nah, fried eggs. Fried eggs.
Okay. This is a little culinary lesson for those of you out there who came for the witty banter.
Yes. Also, speaking of eggs, sunny side up is disgusting. I will have no arguments. Sunny side up is so gross. Cook your egg, for God's sake. Over easy, over medium, hard boiled even. Poach those eggs. I don't care, but sunny side up is gross. I can't do it. I can't do sunny side up.
Okay. That's
it's
fair.
Cold. Cold in the middle. It's so runny.
Oh, okay. Well, that's true.
I prefer over easy.
Yeah, over easy is fine. But you don't mind them a little runny.
No, I like them over easy. Over medium is where you get the hard yolk, or when you like break them.
Yeah, I don't like that.
I don't like that. I don't like the yolk hard unless I'm eating out like a boiled egg. But yeah, poached eggs are really good if you're eating them on Eggs Benedict, which, oh my God. Those of you listening, I know we're going to get to Ahsoka. I promise. We're going
we're
to.
Not. We're but talking if you, eggs all night.
If you've never had Eggs Benedict, for the love of all that's holy, you got to try it. It's so good. It's so good. Eggs Benedict is an English muffin topped with a little bit of butter. And then you put down a slice of ham, preferably homemade ham, not like, the store-bought, like just deli stuff. Preferably like a slice of like a baked ham. Put down that. You're going to put down your poached egg and then hollandaise sauce. And oh my God, it's delicious. What? What are you giggling about?
You know what I'm giggling about. You said ham.
I want all the ham.
Know, that's all I could think of was Patton Oswalt. I want all the ham.
Oh God, the that's all I could think. Oh God, I'm too late. All right. So anyway, I apologize for that rant on food. You know what? No, I don't. Screw it. That was a fun conversation. Why? I don't apologize. If you're listening to this or you're watching this, you know what you got into. So, you know, we appreciate it. I will say up top instead of at the end, because I always forget to. If you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to like, comment, subscribe, ring the notification bell, and share this with your friends. If you're listening on the podcast only, don't forget to rate and review us and check out our merch store, because we have our very special spooky season logo available for a limited time until Halloween, maybe till the first week in November. We'll see. But that is available right now, so go and check that out. All right. With that out of the way, that's it. With that out of the way, that's all I'm going to say. We'll say something else at the end. We're going to talk about Ahsoka episode number 5 tonight. We are on the back half of this season. I'll start us off. I normally throw to Ian to get going here, but I'll start us off by saying, surprise, surprise, I really enjoyed this episode. I know nobody thought otherwise. But I really liked this. There was a lot of great callbacks, a lot of great nostalgia to this. But not only that, there was a lot of weird, timey-wimey, wibbly-wobbly force stuff going on. And I cannot help it. I'm a sucker for the Hayden Christensen Anakin redemption that we're getting between Obi-Wan Kenobi and and now Ahsoka. I'm a sucker for that. I'm very excited. I'm excited for him. I think that he got a very raw deal doing exactly what he was asked to do from a director who I love, who was notoriously bad with actors and directing actors. So I'm very excited to see Hayden Christensen back and really getting a chance to dive into this character. And I'll say more about that later on. I want to let Ian get his thoughts out, but those are my first initial thoughts on this episode. So Ian, what did you think of this overall before we really deep dive into it? Cause I have a couple of things to deep dive into. I'm sure that I'll be rambling a lot tonight.
I thought it was all right.
Yeah.
I think once again, the issue with my lack of excitement is the fact that I hate this. No, I'm kidding. It's the fact that I haven't watched Clone Wars or Rebels at all. Haven't seen but one episode between all of them. So, mm-hmm. And it was the first one. So until I go back and watch them, I don't feel like I'm going to get to appreciate this nearly as much because there's a lot of callback to that, as there should be. Makes a lot of sense. It's just harder for me to get into the show because I haven't seen any of the source material. Not saying I'm not getting into it, not saying it's bad. I just don't get as excited as you about it. Not because I don't like Star Wars, love Star Wars, love everything about it. I, for one, actually don't hate the prequel movies, and I for sure as shit don't hate the
sequel trilogy,
the Rey saga.
Yeah.
I feel like people are just a little too hard on them. And I mean, you like what you like. You liking Star Wars and then liking a prequel or the later movies doesn't make you less of a fan. And I feel like we fan shame people. I don't mean we, because I
do. Right. We don't do that here.
People fan shame people like, oh, you're not a real fan. You're not a real fan. If you don't like that, that's your fucking opinion. Well, that's like your opinion, man. So with that being said, I only went on that big rant to say this. Me not really getting into this doesn't make me less of a Star Wars fan, in my opinion. I don't think it's fair for me to be, not saying anybody is, but if anybody judges me out there like, oh, he's not really getting into it, he must not be a really big fan. Like, no, I'm a fan, but I'm not going to be a fan of every single thing.
No, absolutely not.
This is an all right show, but I'm not getting into it as much as you because you've watched all the older stuff, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. So I am liking that I'm watching it. Don't get me wrong, there's aspects that I'm enjoying, but it's just a lot of like, this one seemed like another filler one to me. I don't think I appreciated the Anakin thing as much because I don't know much about their connection, about their vibe, about everything they've been through.
Yeah, because this is the first time you've seen Anakin and Ahsoka together. Because that was all in Clone Wars and then a tiny little bit in Rebels. So that doesn't surprise me even a little bit that it wouldn't hit you as hard. To reiterate what you said, if you like anything Star Wars, I don't care if you like the old Ewok adventure cartoons, you're a Star Wars fan. You're a fan of Star Wars. You're a fan of that universe in some way. There is nothing written anywhere that says you must like everything that every franchise puts out if you want to be a fan of that franchise. I like Star Trek. There's a lot of Star Trek that I cannot watch, that I just don't care for. That doesn't mean I don't enjoy Star Trek. I love I've loved every Star Trek movie that's come out, even the bad ones. I grew up watching The Next Generation. Absolutely loved it. Couldn't get into Deep Space Nine. Couldn't get into Voyager. It's just the way it is, and that's okay. I'm still a fan.
That's fair. That's a really good example, actually.
Yeah, and so to say that somebody's not a fan because they don't like the same amount of Star Wars that you do is just silly. And also, I want to also help out Ian's Star Wars reputation. We were talking about this right before we got on here. Ian just finished Jedi Survivor. I've yet to play it because I still haven't finished Fallen Order. Also, you bought Knights of the Old Republic 1 and 2 on your Switch. How many times have you bought that game now? Those games.
Total?
Yeah. Across different platforms. Because I did the same thing with Jedi Academy.
So when KOTOR first came out, I owned it. I'll take that back. I bought the first two, respectively, mm-hmm. when they came out.
Was that original and, or Xbox 360 or original Xbox?
Original Xbox. And then I had it again. The first one I bought it again. I don't know what happened to either copy. Actually, I do. I got rid of all my original Xbox stuff. And then when I got it back, like I had it, but I don't know what happened to it. So I end up getting a KOTOR 2 again and just playing that one. Got about halfway through it. My original Xbox took a shit on me. This is about 8 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it took a shit, so I lost all my save data, and I was like, I'm not starting this whole thing.
Oh, again. I hate that.
But now that it's been almost a decade, I take that back. I won't, because I bought it on Switch. Reason I bought it on... So, altogether, I've probably bought several copies of these games, and the reason I decided, because I still own KOTOR 2 for original Xbox, and I was just going to go back here soon... And buy the original one for original Xbox again when I went back to disc replay. But I saw a deal on, it was like $10 for both of them
mm-hmm.
on Switch, on the Switch store. And I was like, man, I already got the second one. I'll just buy the first one next time I see it in that right. store. Well, the issue being is it's still really expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And considering it's original Xbox games. And on top of that, the other issue is I was like, they can't be that much different. And I watched a side-by-side comparison. The Switch version has definitely been very much polished,
mm-hmm.
Smoother, less grainy, brighter, a little bit sharper. So I'm like, yeah, I'm just going to go ahead and get it for Switch. It is a better version. It's $10 to get both of them.
It's a good right deal for Switch, both of them.
So I might as well go ahead. I still have, I mean, if we're talking about it, so I still have my, I have an original Xbox, not my mm-hmm. original. I have Star Wars. I have Jedi Outcast. I have Jedi Academy. I have Star Wars Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith.
I loved that game. That game was so underrated, and so it was an unsung hero of Star Wars games. The dueling system in that
mm-hmm.
was incredible. God, I loved that game so much.
I think that's the only one I got several times. I almost picked up the Obi-Wan game. Did you ever
play that one? I'd never played the Obi-Wan game.
Yeah, I didn't either.
I'm trying to remember the other ones that I've played.
I know. I was trying to remember.
There's so many Star Wars games I've played and I've bought. The only one I've bought multiple times, though. Well, that's not true. I bought KOTOR twice. And I bought Jedi Academy so far, I think, four times. Because I bought it on PC when it came out originally in 2003. I bought it on Steam. I bought it on PS4. And so, no. So, I only bought it three times. Yeah, I bought it three times. I'm sure I'll buy it again. Jedi Academy is my favorite Star Wars game, hands down. Absolutely loved it. But all that to say...
Really, really, really like Jedi Academy, too. That's another one of those, like, they released both of those for Switch. I didn't buy those, but I may have to now after seeing that there is a big difference between the two. However... Derek knows this. I bought an HDMI AV converter for my original Xbox, so the games are looking better. I started playing Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets the other day.
Flipendo! Sorry, that's you're going to hear that a lot.
And then I bought that converter and hooked it up, and it did make a difference.
Yeah. I'm excited to see
what that looks like. And I don't know if I even told you this, but the other day when I went with Bob, I got Prisoner of Azkaban.
Nice. I don't remember playing original. Azkaban.
So I already owned Goblet of Fire for GameCube, and I was looking at this on GameCube, but then I saw the Xbox version, and I was like, this one looks crisper, so I'm going to get this one.
Yeah.
Because GameCube wasn't really known for its graphics.
No, it was not. We're going to have another video game episode very soon. This is fun, but we got to get into Ahsoka before we get too far into the weeds, which we already kind of are. So let's dive into the episode a little bit. Ahsoka getting a chance to meet Anakin in live action was an experience for me. I know it wasn't for you, but for me, it was quite the experience. Seeing Hayden Christensen again and them actually doing a little bit more de-aging on him so he didn't look like a 45-year-old man pretending to be a 20-year-old. That was nice. Because that, I'm sorry, that scene in Obi-Wan, that episode where Obi-Wan and Anakin are training on Coruscant was a great scene that I could not take seriously because Anakin looked 20 years older. They really should have worked harder on that. In this, there are some moments where it's a little bit wonky with the CGI work on his face, but it didn't matter because we got to see him in that excellent costume and the robes from Revenge of the Sith. And we got to see, and I know you don't care about this, but oh my God, we got to see Hayden Christensen with the hairstyle and the Clone Wars outfit, taking a young Ahsoka through her memories, trying to help her decide whether she wanted to fight or whether she wanted to die. I can absolutely see why you would say this was a filler episode. I think that some of the philosophical questions that they were posing in this fell a little flat, to the point that when Allie and I watched it last night, she kind of looked at me and was like, well, what was the point of her and Anakin if she was just in the water the whole time? And I said, I don't know. It's weird, you know, force stuff. I still think she was in the world between worlds because Jason was able to actually hear the lightsaber clashes. So true. I think that was actually happening. But so I can understand your point on that. And I don't disagree that it was not a lot happened as far as moving the plot forward until the very end. But I don't mind.
The end annoyed me.
Oh, I got so excited about the end. We'll talk about that in a second. So Jason, what'd you think about Jason getting to see him a little bit more? Did he do anything for you at all? Again, I know you don't know who he is, which is fine. I mean, you know who he is, but like we've had a little bit of a discussion about who he is. But what did you think about him kind of standing there way too close to the edge of that precipice, like the edge of that cliff?
Yeah, and his mom couldn't give a shit less.
All right, Jason, don't wander off. I'm going to leave you here with a murder bot because I love Chopper, but Chopper has a bigger body count than anybody in Star Wars.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Chopper's a menace. But anyway, what did you think about Jason and his whole ordeal, everything that was going on there? Like, did you like scenes?
It was all right. Yeah, I didn't hate them. I'm kind of indifferent. Like, I know you want more from me. I got nothing. I'm sorry.
It's all right. I'm just trying to throw to you so it's not just me talking. No,
you're fine. I appreciate it. Just, you know, I know my place when it comes to Rebels and Clone Wars. So.
I know. It was exciting to see Jason. One of my favorite moments of the entire episode was him talking to Hu Yang and asking if Hu Yang knows how to make lightsabers, which, yes, that's literally
his entire job. Okay, that was funny.
Literally his entire job is making lightsabers or showing Padawans how to make them. And when Jason asked if he would teach him, he just immediately said no. And it made me giggle. I loved Hera in this episode. There are a lot of things that I liked. And I really liked the ending. But I'm going to go ahead and stop talking about the things that I liked because I run out of like the episode. And we can get into some...
He said, have you trained Jedi? He said, yes. And he said, will you train me? No.
No. Also, he had a great moment in this. When she found him and he was standing behind that pillar holding Sabine's helmet and he just said, I told them to stay together. They never listened.
Oh God, that was
such
sad.
A great moment. And I love David Tennant. He's such a great actor. I love that he got a moment to not just be kind of the goofy, hey, I'm going to be the droid. He got a moment of genuine sadness. I realized
that was David Tennant.
Yeah, it was David Tennant. Time. I loved that scene.
Quick side note here.
Okay.
This is going to have nothing to do with Ahsoka.
Okay.
Should I watch Doctor Who?
Oh, God, Ian.
They're all on, I think, Max now. They're all on something, so I thought about starting.
Yeah.
Because I watched the one from the 80s growing up.
So I love Doctor Who. Love Doctor Who. Have a ridiculous amount of sonic screwdrivers. Love a ridiculous knowledge of Doctor Who. Love Doctor Who. It is difficult for... It is a difficult fandom to get into. I'll say that. I would recommend giving it a shot, but it is very British. It is very low budget. And it's all fun, but it is not all good. And that's probably the most diplomatic answer I can give about Doctor Who. It's all fun.
Okay.
If you're enjoying the show, you'll even enjoy the bad ones and you can kind of laugh about how bad they are. But I love Doctor Who. So I will always tell people to give it a shot. And if you want to start on Doctor Who, again, another weird tangent. This is just the way this night's going to go, and I'm happy for it. For anybody else watching and listening, even though we didn't have this in the description, if you want to start watching Doctor Who and you've never watched it before, start with the revamp of the series, but not with season one. Start with season 5, episode 1. And that is Matt Smith's first episode as the Doctor. It is an absolute perfect jumping on point for a new fan. It picks up with a doctor right after he has regenerated, and you get to learn about who the doctor is. You get to learn about, you know, the TARDIS. You get to learn all kinds of stuff with a really good story right out of the gate with arguably the best companions out of the entire series in Amy and Rory. So if you're going to watch Doctor Who, start with season 5, episode 1. If you've never seen any of it, of the new Doctor Who, the stuff from 2004 onwards. Season 5, episode 1. Excellent. Excellent. So, yes.
Okay.
Get into Doctor Who. Get into Doctor Who. If you already watched Doctor Who from like the 80s, if you watched like the old Sylvester McCoy or even the Tom Baker stuff, start with Christopher Eccleston. He was the 9th Doctor. Start with that.
Where he had the scarf.
Yeah, that was the Tom Baker Doctor. That was the 4th Doctor. Love Tom Baker.
And I love that. So,
would you care for a jelly baby? Okay. Yeah. So anyway, let's get into negatives of Ahsoka. You and I can talk more about Doctor Who later on. That's something we could discuss on here if you end up liking it.
I would love to
talk about Doctor Who. Because the 60th anniversary episode is coming up. Real soon. We're in between doctors. The new doctor is going to take over after the 60th anniversary. So let's get into negatives of this episode. I know that you didn't like the end. I'll say that I agree with you, like I said, that I didn't love everything they were trying to say with everything they were doing with Anakin and Ahsoka in the World Between Worlds, even though I love seeing Captain Rex, I love seeing the flash between Anakin and Vader. The lightsaber fight was a lot of fun. But overall, I think that they could have done more with it. It felt a little fan servicey in the negative way, not overly so, because fan service isn't always negative, in my opinion. I think it can be good. But Ian, what did you have a problem with in this episode?
Okay, so my problem, so to say, was with Ahsoka herself. First of all, I thought her standing out on the ship and talking to the whales went way too long.
It was a little bit of a long shot there. They stuck with it for a bit.
I think it went way too long. They definitely need to shorten that. In one man's opinion, that one man being me. And then her being like, go in his mouth. I was like, okay, I guess this kind of makes sense because, you know, you can avoid trouble. They're going to take you where you need to go.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to try not to be so weirded out by this. And then she got in there and what's his name?
Huyang.
He's just like, oh, so this is going to take us to Sabine? I have no idea.
I don't know.
What? What? You don't know. What have you been doing this whole time?
You were standing out there for a long time. I thought you were
standing out there for a long time to learn nothing. You learn nothing.
Nothing.
Oh, well, nothing. The good news is going somewhere is better than going nowhere. No, it isn't. It isn't. I strongly disagree with you.
Not when you have no idea where that
somewhere
is.
Not when you have an objective. Not when you have a goal. If you don't, going somewhere is definitely better than going nowhere. But if you need to get somewhere, you got to know where that somewhere is. And then for her to be like, don't worry, I'm going to find them. How do you know that?
You don't even know where they're going.
You don't know where you're going. And then when the whales went into hyperspeed, I was like, come on. Come on. That's ridiculous.
But that's what they are. They're hyperspace that's whales.
That's stupid.
That's their whole point.
That's stupid.
They're the basis of hyperspace travel in all of Star Wars. There would be no hyperspace without the Purrgil.
Okay.
No hyperspace travel.
But hear me out. It's stupid for it to be a whale. One man's opinion. I'm not saying the whole thing is dumb.
Okay.
Don't come at me, everybody. My opinion is I think space whales in general are a terrible concept. And I'm not saying that because I can hear somebody now. Oh, he's not a true fan. He doesn't know about the whales. Fuck those whales.
Those whales showed up in Rebels. They're a new thing. It's fine. All jokes aside. The only reason that I'm all in on the Purrgil is because I watched Rebels and I got used to it. The first time we saw them, I said the same thing. I was like, what is happening? Now, we've seen giant creatures that live in outer space. There's a space slug, you know, that this happens. Yeah. That's not odd that there are giant creatures that live in outer space. But the whales were weird. And I can give you that. I absolutely can give you that. However, knowing what they've done with them in like the canon of the stories and everything, it absolutely makes perfect sense that she would think this would work because the way that star map even worked, that Morgan Elsbeth and Baylan and everybody is taking to go to Grand Admiral Thrawn.
Yeah.
It was following the migratory path of the Purrgil. So it absolutely makes sense that she would expect that to work out. She could have told Huyang that. And maybe explain that that's why and not been like, I don't know. We'll see. Maybe it'll work. Maybe it won't. I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't know. Yeah, maybe.
I didn't like that. Because like as a man who wanted to get into the show but hadn't watched the other stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to have to play detective work and piece that shit together.
Yeah.
Now, granted, I could have watched it in the first place. I get that. But I
understand that, but in your defense, that is not your job to watch every single thing.
No, I didn't think so either.
Every TV show, every movie, even if it is a part of an overall piece, has to stand alone in order to be a good piece of creative fiction. And if it doesn't stand on its own, if you can't watch that and know what's going on, then the filmmakers have not done their job. That's just the way it is. It's like the old Stan Lee theory of every comic book is somebody's first comic book. They have to know what's happening when they get into it. And if they don't know what's happening, when they're getting into it, they got to know what's happening before that book is over. That's their first. If this could be the first Star Wars that somebody has ever watched, they have to be able to know what's going on. Now, I think that they're doing a decent enough job of laying out the story that they're putting forward. I don't think the story that they're trying to tell is hard to understand, but some of the motivations, the character choices, they are not clear enough to people who have not watched Rebels and people who have not watched any of the Clone Wars. And I think that that is a huge detriment to this show, which in my opinion should be one of the better shows because Dave Filoni created the character of Ahsoka. It's his favorite character. He has gone all in on this character. Rebels is his baby. He's worked tirelessly to get this story out. It should be the best thing that Star Wars has done. And unfortunately, it can't be because they're relying too heavily on the idea that everyone watching this already knows what's going on. You can't do that. You just can't. as a filmmaker. And I think it's going to be to the detriment of the series, which is a good show so far, but will constantly be burdened by, yeah, but I don't know what happened before. And so that is absolutely right. Understandable. So for me, the space whales, the Purrgil were great because I knew what was going on. But anybody that doesn't know what's going on, it just, there's nothing to fix that, to make those make sense and to make those more. And also, by the way, there are people that have watched all of Rebels that still think the space whales are stupid, and that's okay. That's all right. It's a big level of suspending your disbelief for the space whales. So I completely get it.
Mm-hmm.
I completely get it.
I mean, no disrespect to the space whales. I just, I'm not a fan.
No, that's okay. It's pretty fantastical, and that's fine. Like, fantastical things happen in Star Wars. It's all good, but some people are going to like, others are not, and it's fine. Do you have any other issues with this episode before we wrap up?
No, I really didn't.
Yeah. I understand completely. And I figured that would be the one thing that really would hang up, that you'd have a hang up with, is the space whales. Because that's a pretty big pill to swallow for somebody who's got zero information on those creatures beforehand. So yeah, I agree with you completely on that. I do think that they need to do a better job. If they're going to make this as interconnected as they want to, they've got to do a better job of making sure that you can drop into any single one of these properties and know what's going on. And then if there are little things that you don't know what's happening, then you can still enjoy the episode even if you don't understand everything. But
Which is fair.
Yeah. All right. Well, I wish we were both enjoying this show a little bit more. I'll say that. I'm not disliking it by any means, but it has not been. It is not
everything
been
that you would
everything that I'd hope for. And not trying to say that it's not living up to expectations. It's just, I'm not loving the way the story's unfolding right now. Not hating it by any means. I like the actors. I'm really enjoying the characters. There are things to it that I love. You know, the nostalgia has been great. Callbacks have been great, but it's just not as good as I was hoping it would be so far. Still have 3 episodes left. It could blow me away in the last 3 episodes, but so far with this series, I like it better than Boba Fett, but I'm not enjoying it as much as any of the other shows that we've had so far. Like, I'll take Andor, Obi-Wan, any of those over this right now.
Yeah, agreed. And again, that's not saying this is a bad show. Just not in the upper echelon of shows for us personally.
Yeah. All right. Well, with all that out of the way and all of our ranting and rambling, let us know what you thought about this episode. Let us know if you want to follow Ian on a journey through Doctor Who. That could be a fun one to follow along with. Let us know if that's something that you're interested in, and maybe we can make that happen. I'll say again, don't forget to check out our merch store. There is a very fun design of our logo that has the spooky, spooky stuff on it. So it's our Halloween logo that Trent designed for us for our first Halloween that we did this. And it's a lot of fun. It's a good time, especially if you like Halloween and comic books and superheroes and Star Wars. Go and check it out. Again, don't forget to do everything you're supposed to for YouTube. Don't forget to rate and review us on the podcast. Thank you again to Brittany's Brick Oven Pizza. I've been stuttering a lot lately. It's been really bad lately. I apologize for stammering through that. Go check out Bebop's if you're in the Southern Indiana area. You will not regret it. It's absolutely delicious. Thank you for everyone's continued support. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. Ian, thank you for joining me on this journey through Star Wars property that you are merely tolerating until we get to something that you're more well, that you know a little better. So for Ian, I've been Derek. This has been the Paperweight Entertainment Podcast, and we will see you next time.